Support for this podcast is brought to you by Robinhood. Are you looking to invest in upcoming businesses? Are you looking to invest in your retirement or just to build a stock for the future? Well, the future is here with the Robinhood app. On this app, you can buy, you can sell stocks in companies like Google, Apple, Groupon, and many more. They also have pot stocks. They also got crypto stocks. So you really can't go wrong. So definitely go to Robinhood.com/NathanJ619, and that'll get you a free stock in one of those great companies as well. So, like I said, definitely hit them up and get your future on the ball rolling. So, support for this podcast is brought to you by the best hookers in town. No, I'm not talking about those kind of hookers. I'm talking about like the guys who hook your car up when you're fucked up and you've been drinking all night long or something like that. Well, if you need to get hooked up for sure, because you've been drinking or you're cruising around the city in your tax time car because it broke down, well, definitely hit up Red's Wrecker and Towing Service at 1718 Bartlett Road. 38134 is the area code, zip code thing, you know. Well, anyway, hit them up at their phone number, 901-315-1856. Again, 901-315-1856, and you can get the best hookers in town. Just the kind of pick your car up, not those kind. So, all right, let's get to the show. It's the Horse Basement Show, and today I got the great comedian with me,
Jackson Maness.
What's up, man?
What's up? Shit,
fucking... So,
I got us this great paid studio. That's what
happened.
Yeah,
I know, right? This random leasing place.
Yeah, we broke into a leasing office to do this podcast because I knew a random black guy off the street.
Yeah. He pretended to know this guy, so.
I did recognize him though.
Hey, it worked. We're in though.
Yeah, it fucking did, dude. This shit's cozy.
Right.
God,
it's nice. It's like new chair smells.
And, yeah, that's what I'm saying for all you listeners at home. This is a dope ass setup, and when he gets rich, he needs to design his podcast studio like this. For this glorious, wonderful time he was having with me.
Right. And of course, you know, for all you listeners, you already know, you can help that goal by becoming a patron to the show. You know what I'm saying? You can donate $1 to $5, get some cool shit back in return, so on and so forth. But you guys know the routine.
Anyway.
Hell yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Shit. So, yeah. Give the man some money.
So, I guess my first question is, how are you doing, I guess, as a comedian, and how did you become the comedian that you are today?
How am I doing as a comedian? Like, how would I rate myself?
I guess that was a random off question. But I guess you'd say more of like, where do you see yourself in comedy today? And like, how did you get to the point of...
Okay, so do you just want my like backstory on like the day that I was like, shit, I want to do stand up?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Origin story.
Yeah, so I was sitting at a bar at Fox and Hound, like down the street. And I told this story to the bar about me running over my best friend's dog. Huh? And then 2 weeks later, running over another dog. And it was at a 10-year-old girl's birthday party. I fucking just murked her dog. And so I like got out of the car and I went to like go see whose dog I just ran over. And all these little girls are running around like, oh my god! And I go and I see her mom's holding the fucking dead dog. And I go, oh god damn. This just happened. Like, I went up to the mom. I was like, look, if you need help like digging a hole or something, like, I got you. I did this 2 weeks ago. Don't worry. I know what I'm doing. So I told that story to the bar that night, and this dude was like, "Dude, you got 5 minutes to stand up in that." And I was like, "Oh shit!" Like, I'd always grown up like watching stand up because like my favorite stand up of all time is Ralphie May, like for sure. Yeah, yeah, I fucking love him. But yeah, so I had always kind of thought about it, and like, I'm a fuck up, so like, how many routes do I actually have to make it in life, you know? So I was like, fuck it. I mean, I'm already an open book with everybody that asks me questions. Right. So like, I might as well just go throw my shit out there and see if it's funny, you know? Right. So that's basically how I started comedy, and now I've been doing comedy for about a little over a year now, so it's working out.
Yeah. Well, this is, I guess, the proper route to take, I guess.
Yeah, you know shit. I hope. So, fuck, I don't know.
So, well, you said Ralphie May was one of the people, I guess, as an influence. That's true. Mm-hmm. But, like, who else would you say is, like, a major influence, or who has put you into a position, I guess you say, mentally, to be like, hey, I'm a kind of fashion after this style, or type of comedy?
Well, like, as far as style goes, I would say that I don't want to do anybody's style.
Yeah.
Like, obviously people will compare me to things, mm-hmm. but like, or like certain types of comedy or whatever you want to say, mm-hmm. but like, I want to make my own shit, you know? Like, that's like, I've only told personal stories on stage, and it's just so like, I'm not even trying to like get myself in like a situation where like I'm sounding like Norm Macdonald or some shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
Which is totally not me.
Right.
You know?
Okay, so in that case too, I guess you say, who is a comic, I guess you say, that you listen to a lot besides Ralphie May?
Well, I listen to Joe Rogan's podcast almost weekly, for sure, you know? But as far as like just watching them do them on stage, like obviously Dave Chappelle, you know, I mean, he is always himself, it seems like, you know. So, and that's something you get encouragement. And then like a Tom Segura, I listen to his podcast, Andrew Santino, like those types of people that just kind of like do their thing regardless of what everybody's doing, you know. Obviously some are doing well because it's them, but like, to me, I just want to be me on stage and like just be myself, because I think if I'm gonna make it, that's gonna be the reason,
not
that I tried to imitate, you know?
Because you were giving off basically who you, your true self, basically.
Yeah.
So okay, I can dig that. So it's like, cause you were mentioned too, like just like podcasts and stuff like that. Do you feel like it's an essential thing nowadays, you know what I'm saying, for comedians to like listen to podcasts and
do that kind of thing? Yeah, I have to listen to podcasts just to keep my head on straight. Like, I drive all the time with my work, so like, you get tired of fucking music.
Yeah.
So like me, I'll listen to podcasts. Like, if anybody recommends podcasts to me, like, I'm gonna listen to it. Yeah. Just because, like, I think it's a good way to provoke thought for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, especially, like, if you're listening to, like, a more serious podcast, like a New York Times, The Daily, or some shit. You know, like, you're like, okay, they're explaining things to me. Like, what are my opinions on this situation?
Right. Versus, yeah. I guess you say, like, the mainstream.
Yeah.
Mainstream broadcast, I guess you say. Yeah. And shit like that. But that's, I mean, that's definitely cool too, to being a podcast, you know what I'm saying?
I want to start my own, for sure.
It's fun.
I've definitely thought about it.
It's a fun thing to do, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've been saving up to buy some fucking microphones.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times people think that it's a super expensive thing, you know what I'm saying, to do. But it's really not, and it's like, a lot of podcasting, you know what I'm saying, I think, it's just putting in the fucking grind work of like getting your name out there, kind of thing.
Yeah, you know?
Like the content that you make, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like a big thing. Because like, even like with this podcast, like I like to interview a lot of different artists and guests and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That are art driven, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I feel like comedy is like, one of the top forms of art. You know what I'm saying? Just like I feel like you would say stuff like comics or either cooking, you know, culinary arts and shit like that. Yeah. That's like top of the line type of shit. It's like those type of things, like not everybody can do it. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, so why would you say comedy is a top form of art versus like painting?
I would say
because not everybody can do painting either.
You know? Yeah, well, not everybody can do painting, but you can more so be like, I guess, like trained. You know what I'm saying? And taught to be an artist as far as painting and that type of deal goes. Or either.
Oh, so you're saying there's like a formality on like.
Yeah. It's like, okay. It's kind of like with comedy, it's kind of one of those things where it's like you either got it or you don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then whereas like me, myself.
So name all the comics in Memphis that you think don't have it.
If I was to name somebody, I would be like beep, 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 beep. You know? So, but the thing is, although, you know, being with comedy still takes, you know, practice and effort and shit like that too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's more of a, I feel like, a natural kind of thing too. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it comes.
Comedy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
So
I mean, yeah, like there's definitely like, I think there's a natural drive for people to want to make people laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you think about it, you crack a joke in front of your buddies and you're like, it's like a little high, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely can understand where that's coming from. Exactly. Because it makes you feel, it gives you this like, this aspect of like, hey, like I made the room shine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because getting people to laugh is not an easy feat, you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Without
yeah, you're going to
either
swing and miss a
yeah.
long fucking yeah. time.
You know what I'm saying? So, so I guess a question I was going to ask you too, is what is your views and shit, I guess you say, on, I guess you look at, like, different channels, you know what I'm saying? I guess you got like Netflix, you got HBO, you got Starz, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. What are your views on like those types of like comedy specials and like the comedians that those types of like channels?
So you're saying,
you're asking
me basically, like, do I notice a difference between HBO specials and Netflix specials and the type of people they're choosing?
Or
which do I prefer?
Yeah, like which do you prefer?
Okay.
And like which. Which do you
How do I consume
more?
My comedy?
Yeah.
Okay, so like Netflix. Netflix for sure. I mean,
yeah.
There's so many fucking specials releasing all the goddamn time
right.
on Netflix. You know what I'm saying? So like, I always watch comedy on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Like, and plus, like, there's other good shit too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like I just recently joined the bandwagon for Ozark.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Ozark, shout out to Netflix, to Ozark and whatnot. But, yeah, I just started season 2, and I'm on, like, episode 4
yeah.
right now. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah,
right
I'm
now?
On episode 3 of season 1.
Yes,
and when
yeah.
motherfuckers just kept
yeah.
getting got
right.
fucking on episode 1, I was like, god damn.
Right, dude. Right.
This is some Game of Thrones shit.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I probably
Hell yeah, yeah. That's like. Like, dude made him walk in the ass and some more
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, have you ever watched Sons of Anarchy?
No.
Dude, that one's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
God. Oh,
but see, as
Lord.
Far as, shout out to FX and shit, but like, as far as FX shows, like, I'm a huge Snowfall fan, though. Been watching
I don't
all
even
that
know
shit.
What the fuck that
Snowfall is like, this. It's this show basically about how, like, crack got started in the
crack?
80s. Yeah. Like,
so, how, what about the U.S. government history are they talking about?
Yeah, I mean, they got some parts of that in there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is pretty cool. But it's
yeah.
like, I don't know, those I guess are the shows outside of comic stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
I've been really on, whatever.
Dude,
but,
yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Too, earlier we was having this conversation when we were drinking these beers about different rooms. And stuff like that. Like
different rooms.
Rooms.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
like
I mean?
Style
so,
of audience or demographic
yeah.
of audience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like, what is your preferred demographic?
My preferred?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. definitely black people.
Yeah.
Like, if I were to step in and be like, I think I'll do best if I'm not prepared in front of this group of people,
yeah.
it's black people.
Yeah.
For sure. just because, like, I can fake it till I make it. You know, I feel like I've been making black people laugh since high school or whatever. Is that old boo thing hitting you up, being like, you gotta be munching later,
right?
Like, not only on food.
Oh, snaps, man! I don't know. Sometimes it's tempting, but then I'm like, you know, you go first, and then.
Wait, you don't eat pussy?
It depends.
What do you mean?
It just depends on if I got heartburn or not.
Heartburn?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Does eating pussy trigger your heartburn?
No, it doesn't, but, you know, you can use that as an excuse sometimes.
Dog,
you go first, and
if
then...
my tongue had balls, I'm balls deep. Luckily, no. I have no balls, so I'm never balls deep.
I don't know. I guess prefer.
Have you ever eaten ass?
Definitely not.
What?
Definitely not.
Dude, actually, you're fucking 32.
Had a fucking episode about the shit. Me, one of the people, I don't eat ass. And I feel like we are coming to a generation of people who love to eat ass.
Dude.
And I blame it on J.D. Aiko and Chris Brown.
I don't know who the fuck those people are. I know Chris Brown is, not the other motherfucker. But, dude, you're 32. How have you not accidentally eaten ass at least once?
Because, man, like...
You never were my drunk, tongue, just my munching
tongue
has, on that thing.
No, my tongue got a radar, bro. My tongue be like, if I'm going down there,
I'm slurping.
It's like, no. My tongue's like, yeah, shit, no.
I get dirty.
It's too far. Go back up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a sonar type shit.
Dog, you're too careful with it. You gotta loosen up. So, eating that monkey.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah,
no, I'm straight.
Damn, son.
Yeah.
Wait, so you don't even 69? You 69?
Yeah, I get down like that.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I'm saying, dog.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You gotta make sure the butthole's above the nose region, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so, yeah, that's true. But like, has your nose ever accidentally went in?
No. It's actually grazed one time, and it was like when you have your eyes closed and you think you're eating Ritz crackers, but you get a saltine.
Oh my god.
And it just freaked me out, and I was like, no, I can't take it.
You're a pussy. You're a pussy about it. You gotta take it like a champ. You accidentally lick it, give it a twirl, and then just keep going.
I'm one of those people like, gotta pass the ass. You know?
Pass the ass.
Yeah, pass the ass.
How much of this are you gonna keep in this? Are you gonna keep the whole thing?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes a great time for you.
Yeah. Shit, dog.
So I was like, but another question too that I have to ask. So when we're just talking about like the rooms and stuff like that, and you were saying, okay, so you prefer to do black rooms and everything like that. So would you say that the black rooms in Memphis, I guess you say, are more like accepting, because I would say like you were like one of the few white rappers, comedians that I see do black rooms. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, really? Yeah, I mean, like, I have noticed like there's a couple rooms that not a lot of white comics go to, but like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like most people, like, we're so short of rooms, I think, that like, if you're kind of serious about it, like, I'll see you. At some point.
You're going to be in there somewhere.
Like, yeah. But, well, fuck, what did you ask me? You asked me, what did you ask me?
Basically, mainly...
Do I find black rooms more accepting?
Yeah.
Okay, now I remember. God, dude, I got high. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously to my jokes, I feel that way, that I do better in black rooms, you know? They're more accepting to me, but I can definitely, like, I know there's other comics that don't feel that way. There has to be. Yeah. I mean, because, like, I can go to the P&H and I struggle there, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Struggle fucking hard. But other comics can go there and they, like, that's their clique, you know? And, like... It's it's definitely interesting just to see, you know, because, like, I consider, you know, most, I won't say most Memphis comics similar, but we're all kind of dirty, you know, and, like, not really just super clean. Nobody's really doing that. People are attempting it, but,
yeah, you know. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, the Memphis, I guess I would say, too, Memphis comedy is more of a New York style of comedy, you know what I'm saying? As far as, like, when it comes to, like, raunchiness or edginess or comics, they're just, like, laying it all out, you know what I'm saying? Versus comics, you say, more so that are in places like fucking, I don't know, like Cali or the last time I was in St. Louis and Pittsburgh, you know what I'm saying? Like, the comics there kind of playing it safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not kind of just like all, like, let them have it kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I honestly don't know anything about that. Yeah. Like, I've never been to New York, St. Louis, or whatever, watching comedy. Or
yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm just saying comics that come from those places, too. Yeah. You can kind of tell the difference in them. You know what I mean? And stuff. So, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a super cool thing that you're able to do those types of rooms. You know what I mean? And those types of mics and shit like that here, because the city is not very diverse, you know what I mean? But the places that I guess that are, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's cool that you're able to hit those rooms and actually get laughs and steady laughs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some of those rooms, instead of like some of the other ones that you see in town, I'm not gonna name any names, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, when they attempt that, it's like, it's not as receiving, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and even when you see black comics here, you know what I'm saying, do white rooms. And it's like, the room itself is like, we don't get it, you know what I'm saying?
You think, so what about at the Bluff? You see a Rob Love or somebody like that go in to a pretty much a white young college, or Jawa go to a white young college crowd. They do pretty well. Jawa got fucking encore one time.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Right. You know? I mean, and I think with those comics, you know what I'm saying, they have come to understand, I guess, like, how to, I guess that's the word, you know what I'm saying? But, like, how does someone manipulate the room, you know what I'm saying? Because their jokes can hit all facets, you know what
those
I'm saying?
Those two dudes take over rooms. Yeah. Like, their presence is there, you know.
So, they...
It's crazy.
Yeah, they're
good,
I think. They're definitely strong comics here in town, for sure. And, like, even with some of the other, like you said, kind of, like, harder rooms, I guess you said, like P&H, or, like, Drew's Place, you know what I'm saying? Like, those rooms are definitely harder rooms. And then, like...
Well,
like,
Drew's Place was always a hard room just because it was nothing but comics.
Yeah.
Like, there's fucking two people and one's a bartender.
Yeah.
You know, like, the fuck? Like, I performed to two people there once. And then, like, the max I would ever see was, like, six people. So you go, like, you know, how are you, you know, and then everybody's a comic, like, talking or on their phone, not paying attention to your shit, you know? Thinking about their set, so it always makes it harder to me when there just nobody comes, you know. Because first off, you're going to be like thinking, like, oh, this is kind of pointless for me to be here. I stayed out till 10 to do 5 minutes in front of all comics, you know. And you get in your head about it, and then you're like, nah, like, anytime I'm on is a fucking... Good thing.
Yeah. So, but I know you've hosted a few shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, do you prefer, when you're doing a show, do you prefer to do, like, more hosting, you know what I'm saying, of the show? Or
the reason I hosted was because I wanted guaranteed stage time.
Yeah.
And so I created my own room, and I wanted it to have an open mic, because I didn't feel like, I wanted it to be for everybody, because that was, I think I was like, I wasn't that long in, I was like three months into taking comedy seriously, you know, or whatever, and I obviously I'm not getting put on shows or any local shows or anything like that, so I was like, why not just make it an open mic so anybody can come? Right. You know, if you want to come and show up, you can get on stage.
Yeah.
You know, because my first time I hosted, I spent like 2 hours on a list, like trying to be super thoughtful about it, and then nobody showed up on time. I was like, this is all trash. Yeah. You know, so I fucking just winged it for there. But then now that's why now, like, they gotta show up and sign up.
Yeah. So. Alright. So, what would you say your best, not best, but what is your favorite venue? You know what I'm saying?
To do my favorite venue to do comedy?
Yeah.
Like, that I've ever performed at?
Yeah, or just even period, just your favorite one to perform.
Or in Memphis?
Yeah, in Memphis, I guess. Okay. First start, yeah. And then for in Memphis, and then what's your favorite outside?
Okay, in Memphis, what would be? I guess the Bluff.
Yeah.
You know, just because I used to really love Mott and Ed's. Mm. Love Mott and Ed's, man. But I really like the Bluff. Just because, like, I don't know, it kind of feels like home a little bit. Like, it's like, like, that sounds stupid, but, like, I know, like, I'm doing it and I'm hosting it, so, like, there's not really any worry about anything.
Right.
You feel a little bit like you can control more of, you know, whatever. But then I would say Minneapolis is pretty fun. I did that. Like I told you, I did 3 minutes there. And that, like, comedy corner underground open mic, that was a fun one for sure. I did South Street in Jackson.
Nice.
That was my first paid comedy club. Performance. It was pretty exciting. Shout out to Chestnut and Chris Ingram and Harvey. But yeah, I mean, pretty much, dude. I like doing them all.
Shout out to the people who make these episodes possible. Let's give a shout out to Not Your Ordinary Films, bringing some of the best web series that you can see on YouTube. Definitely check out the show This Can't Be Life. And if you're into comic books, you're into superheroes and kicking ass and taking names kind of thing, definitely check out their show Not Your Ordinary Black Girls. It's two shows you don't want to miss, for sure. Check them out on YouTube. Definitely look them up on Facebook. And binge watch. It's the best thing you can do all weekend, besides listening to the podcast. So, yeah. Definitely want to give a shout out to the best clothing line out there right now, House of Hooligans, where you can get all your hooligan apparel for the casual look, your semi-formal look, for your sports athletic look. House of Hooligans got you hooked up all the way. Definitely check them out on Instagram, check them out on Facebook, check them out on Twitter. For all the hookups and for special codes when you see them at the pop-up shops. So, with that being said, in this whole art fashion of everything, definitely check out Kia Wood's art and get your house hooked up. So, because your house could be super fresh with cool paintings on the wall and all type of art in your house, because your house probably looks boring as hell right now. So, definitely hit up Kia Wood's art and get hooked up so your house will look all raggedy rag. Look her up on Facebook, look her up on Instagram, look her up on Twitter, and all your social media places. Definitely look all these amazing people up and all these great people who make this episode possible. So, with that being said, let's get to the episode.